All right, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of our Yeti Question of the Day. These are a lot of fun. This is where we answer questions that come through the newsletter. And as an added bonus, if we pick your question to answer, we'll reach out to you via email and you'll get a free Yeti water bottle. So it's a win-win. So steps to get your question answered, make sure you subscribe to the newsletter, reply to any of those with a question you would like answered, and then you know, we'll pick a question, we'll answer it, and we'll reach out to you, send a bottle. But without further ado, our first question is from Chris. So Chris actually has a question specifically for me, but Jay, I'm sure you have some thoughts
VIP
here as well.
In the house. Yep.
Oh boy. I'd love if you could do a Q&A episode to discuss your back injury and your road to recovery. I herniated a disc last September. And 1 year later, I'm just getting back to lifting moderately heavy weights. My wife keeps teasing me about when I'm coming back to CrossFit, but I really like how my body feels with the lower intensity functional strength training I'm doing. I'm in my early 30s and I've really resonated with the comments the other day about waking up and feeling like $1 million. So here's his actual question. What did your road to recovery from your back injury look like, and how have you had to permanently alter your training since the injury? So this is actually a really good and timely question, because I would say the past 3 days have been just, nothing compared. I mean, it's not even worth saying that it's like come back, but I've just been feeling like a little bit of the nerve pain that I used to have. Because I started power cleaning heavy, and it was just a good reminder of like, you know, some things are just kind of like out of the cards for me. I think it was a combination of the fact that I've been power cleaning heavy and I've been ignoring a lot of the core movements, specifically like sandbag holds and dead bugs that I was doing for a while that were actually instrumental in me getting better. And I think that the key learning there, and then I'll go back to like the actual story of my injury and all that. Hopefully this provides some information, not just for Chris, but anyone else dealing with a back injury, because they're unfortunately super common. But I think the common mistake people make is you figure out the things that fix your injury. And then once your injury is rectified, you stop doing them, even though they're obviously incredibly important for that injury not to come back. And we all do it. Jason's like, if you're not watching the video, Jason's literally nodding his head the whole time because we've all been there. I'm injured, so I should probably stretch this thing. You're really good about stretching. And then it goes away and then you stop. And then what does it mean if you stop? You're going to injure it again, or the problem's going
to
come back.
It's happened to me so many times, Gabe. Like, it's happening to me right now, dude. Like, I know my knee is not great. And so I was doing like, because it was so bad, I was doing like smashing and all this stuff. And then all of a sudden, gets better. And what do? Stop doing it.
Yeah. So that's been a really good reminder of me now. So literally yesterday, I started walking with the sandbag knee, and I'm committing to at least 3 times a week. Because what I used to do when I first started like ramping up my training is I used to do what probably ends up being like a 300 meter bear hug sandbag hold every single day. Because I personally found it to be the best way to just continue to activate and strengthen the muscles in my low back that like really protect my spine and the discs down there, so that I can squat and power clean and do these things with a barbell, but I never have to worry about like the actual like musculature around my spine to not be strong enough to then protect it, so that you get any kind of movement in there, which is essentially what leads to either herniating something in the first place or re-aggravating something like that, which is probably what I've done a little bit. So real quick, like, 5 minute version of my injury. I was a bonehead. I was really, really obsessed with getting stronger, because for a long time in CrossFit, that was my weakness. I've always been like a great engine guy. I come from a pretty extensive endurance background. So for me, being successful in the sport of fitness honestly just meant I needed to get stronger. So I was like obsessed. Like, I will do anything and everything to get freaking stronger. That led me down the path of like this 20 rep back squat cycle. Seemed like a great idea, and for all intents and purposes, I think that in all like due respect to the 20 rep back squat program, I think it's a great program. I think it's a great way to build strength. I just think you need to, when you're dealing with that sort of volume and that sort of loading, you just need to be that much more diligent about like, are you super balanced? Are you getting sloppy and bouncing out of the bottom and, you know, kind of like doing a stripper, you know, hip first, and then your back's holding all the weight. Like, it's a good program, but you have to be very diligent about what your form looks like. You know, are you pushing a little bit more than you should? So I did it, but I did it like
just for clarity's sake, what the 20 rep back squat program is, it's a phenomenal program. You start at a very small percentage of your overall max weight. You do 20 reps unbroken. Then each week, sometimes even twice a week, you go up 5 to 10 pounds every single week, basically indefinitely until you can't do it anymore. And the time under tension is incredible and it's very impactful, but it's a lot of strain. So I just wanted to say what it was.
No. Good pretext there. So I actually, dude, I got strong, man. Like I got up to 310 for 20, which like,
and that probably took you like 5 minutes, right?
It's a long time. You got to like,
long time.
You get to like rep 8 and 10 and you got 10 to go and you got to like, you know, you're standing there with the weight. And the reason that I hurt my back so bad, looking back on it and it's clear as day, is I twisted my ankle like really bad. I fell off pretty gnarly from a rope climb back in the day. And like I didn't fracture my my ankle, but I sprained it like super bad. And I never got back like full dorsiflexion. So even in the videos, because I would take videos of all these squat sessions, you could see that one knee had to go out further. One toe was out a little further. And especially when the weight got really heavy, like the bar on my back was even lopsided because one ankle just wasn't bending as much. Everything was overcompensating for it. So combine that with the amount of volume and time under tension, and I got a really, really bad herniation of my L4, L5, L5S1, not back, which is what most people do, but laterally. So I was literally herniating my spine, and like the actual like disc was herniating to the side. So I never even had back pain from it. What I started getting was like weird hamstring and calf tightness. And the tricky thing with back herniations is that sometimes you don't feel the discomfort in your back. It's that it starts pinching a nerve, and you could feel it in like the bottom of your foot, depending on where in the nerve you're herniating. And the problem then is like, what I was doing is I was stretching my hamstring, I was stretching my calf, I was like mashing my foot. Cause I was convinced it was just like my hamstring was getting tight, my calf was getting tight, and I had no idea that it was actually a back injury, because this didn't happen in like one rep. It wasn't like rep 12 that day I did 310 and like I felt something and I knew I had hurt my back. This started like to creep up little by little by little as I went through this program. And because it started being such a mild discomfort, I didn't think much of it. And I was just like, I'll finish the program. And then once I finish, like I'll take some rest and whatever tight hamstring or tight calf or whatever that I have will go away. And then like, I was like 2 weeks left from finishing the program when the pain got like super bad. Like I couldn't get out of my car bad. Like it would just shoot down. Like it was like lightning that would go down from my right hip all the way down to like my toes. And being a bonehead and just young and stupid, I was like, well, I'm just 2 weeks left. Like whatever it is, as long as I finish and then take some rest, it'll be fine. Little did I know, I was like herniating my disc pretty badly and I would keep squatting on it. And the problem too was it would kind of go away once you warm up, get really bad afterwards. But since it almost felt better to work out and get weight on my back, I was like, how bad could this possibly be? And it ended up, you know, once I actually stopped, like I got to the point where I've mentioned this in the past, like I couldn't tie my own shoes. Like Ariel had to tie my shoes for a month and it was pretty bad, man. I was pretty like scared at the time because, you know, I was in my 20s. I don't even think I was 30 yet. And if I would have had like surgery or even get like a shot in there for it, like it seems so dumb to have to go to those kind of extreme measures in my 20s just for being irresponsible with my training. So it was a big learning lesson for me. I think that net, I think it was a big positive for me. Like I learned a lot about training and why I do what I do. And I know we talk about this on the podcast all the time, but like now there is nothing worth the risk of me being in pain, like nothing. Like I don't need to lift any amount of weight to get any sort of like number of reps, any time on a benchmark workout, if it's going to mean that I'm going to be in pain. Like it's just not worth it, right? Like I need to feel like $1 million. Pain also makes you like not a fun person to be around. Like I wasn't the best boyfriend, or I think I was, you know, we were engaged, so fiance at the time, because I was always in pain. Like, being in pain sucks. So being out of pain now is the most important thing. And, you know, to fully answer Chris's question, me getting back into training, I was very fortunate that I have a long history swimming, because swimming was the one thing that I found that I could do 100% pain-free, and still, like, I was able to go like 100% effort in the pool. And it was just great. It was really good for me. I would go to the community center in Campbell before work every single day. It was like a $10 punch card for 5 swims. I remember it was like super inexpensive, basically free. And yeah, it was great. It allowed me to do something. I remember I had to like use the ladder to get into the pool because I couldn't even jump in. And because I swam in college, like, I'm a pretty good swimmer, but I couldn't do flip turns because I couldn't bend my back at all. Like, that's the one thing I couldn't do. And people would come up to me too, and they're like, you know, why don't you do flip turns? Because clearly I'm a swimmer, people could tell, but I would have to get to the wall and like gingerly turn my body around, because the one thing I couldn't do was bend my back. So it was a funny experience, man, because it was like me and a bunch of old people swimming every morning. But I'm very grateful that I had swimming, because it gave me an outlet to still be able to work out super hard while really letting my body rest. And then super slowly. And I think what really helped was, because the pain was so bad at the worst part of the injury, I was so grateful, even when I was able to, like, you know, do some bicep curls again, that I never felt like I had to rush back. Like, if I would have never been able to deadlift or squat again at all, but been pain-free, I would have been happy. So I think it reset my expectations to, like, I'll take what I can get, which I think helped me be very patient on my way back, where now, you know, I'm deadlifting 400 pounds again at the end of, you know, this cycle for 5. I'm front squatting pretty heavy. I'll never back squat again. I don't think I need to. You know, I can just front squat, and my legs are getting a pretty good workout. My core is getting a workout. I don't need to have a bar on my back. And that's just how I heard it last time. So probably never back squat heavy, at least again. I'll do some back rack lunges and stuff, but I just won't do that. So my training has definitely permanently changed, in that whenever I do a movement and my back, I feel any of this type of pain in the coming days, I'm like, okay, don't have to do that. And that's perfectly fine. There's plenty of things I can do, so I'm not worried about the things I can't do.
Yeah. And I think the part of the question that I think I kind of honed in on, I'll just add this real quick to close this or to move on or whatnot, is that Chris is saying, like, hey, my wife is kind of giving me encouragement to come back to CrossFit. And I would just say that for me too, I haven't suffered the same type of injury that Gabe has. And so my perspective is different, but I have known what it feels like to throw around many hundreds of pounds many of times. And when I go in certain environments, my brain and my body still tell me I could do certain things, but I haven't earned the right to do them anymore. And I think that's really important for some people listening to recognize. Like, if, for example, Gabe was like, hey, bro, let's go into the gym, or maybe not Gabe, maybe like, I don't know, Rich Froning, right? He's like, hey, bro, let's go work out together, right? Part of me wants to get back to the where we were training, and my ego will get in the way. And I know that I could still clean and whatever certain amounts of weight, but I haven't earned the right to like work like the little muscles that really need to be in there. And I might start feeling a little bit off, but I'll still continue on because my ego gets in the way. So if you are going to go back to CrossFit, if you are going to be around that environment, which I think is super powerful, you got to just check the ego in there and recognize that, like, you're not going to be the same person you were before the injury. And I'm not going to be the same person I was when I was training 3 times a day for a decade. And that's okay, because my priorities have shifted and I'm evolved. And I think that's really important when you get back from the gym, because the last thing you want to do is re-injure yourself and be in pain again. So not the exact same example with Gabe, but just a little bit different take on it for those people who are getting back in the gym, maybe after not training for a while.
Yeah. Yeah. And Chris, man, like, if you ever want to reach out specifically to me on Instagram, you have any specific questions, movements that really help, like I mentioned, the sandbag, dead bugs. I did dead bugs every single morning, dude. I would just do them super slow for 3 minutes until it, like, oh my God, until like it would light up my core. Because a lot of what I needed to do, and a lot of the reason I ended up getting hurt in the first place, is like, your legs will get super strong doing something like the 20 rep back squat program. But if you're not doing the prerequisite work to make sure that, like, literally the structure that holds your spine in place isn't getting strong, which is your abdominal muscles, your erectors in your back, things that get strengthened by doing core work and stuff like sandbag holds, then the structure isn't strong. It's exactly what you said, right? Like you haven't earned the right to move those heavy weights, even though, you know, was I able to squat 300 pounds for 20 reps? I was, like, I went down and went up, but my body wasn't like structurally sound enough. I had no business doing that. No business. And, you know, paid the price.
On the same idea with a different note, it's like, I can power clean a lot of weight because I have strong hips still, but my receiving position and my erectors and my core need to be strong enough to receive that load. I might be strong enough to drive it up, but do I have the smaller, micro muscles, all these different things to stabilize me when I actually receive it? And something I've been reflecting on, like in a squat clean in particular, I have to keep it lower load. Like, I think the most I'm doing in squat cleans right now is 225. So I could really try and rebuild some of these patterns and not just rely on hip strength and things like hollow rocks, dead bugs, even like obviously the reverse hyper, Supermans, all of those things I think are underutilized in terms of developing that core that I think is not focused on enough for some people. So definitely something to take away from that. And I'm glad your back is doing better, of course.
Yeah, thanks, man. And it's funny that this question came in now because literally past 2 days I've woken up and I've been like, God damn it. And thinking about what I've been doing and whatnot, it's been twofold, not doing the things that I should be doing. And also probably like power cleaning, like really heavy, like going as heavy as I can for 3 reps. I think that like, I can still power clean, but I just don't have to do that anymore. That's it.
Dude. Hey, you can still be strong, still be able to protect, provide, and do all those things and not 100%. Go for 1RMs. Like, dude, yesterday I was hitting tempo deadlifts at an elevated position, 255. Could I have done 315? But I went 255 and I felt good after. So I still feel good today. Feel damn good today, actually.
We'll end on that note.
All right, let's get it.